I want to say something, and I mean this in the most respectful way. Sometimes old people know what they're talking about. Sometimes old people know what they're talking about. Let me tell you why I say that. A few weeks ago, at our place over near Summersville, a big flood came through and it just about washed out our pond. So I had the pond fixed and I really needed to get some grass growing immediately. So I asked several people, how do you do that? How do you get grass and roots in the ground immediately? So I asked some old people. And numerous old people told me, you've got to put down straw. You have to. You got to put down straw. And I thought to myself, that sounds like a giant waste of time. But I thought I should follow their advice. So I put down straw. Not over the entire pond bank, but over quite a bit of it. And what do you know? The old people knew what they were talking about. Where I put straw, the grass is growing vigorously. Where I didn't put straw, the grass is barely growing at all. Old people sometimes know what they're talking about. And here's the thing that's really interesting about all this. It's all the same seed. It's all the same seed. All that grass seed I planted all had the same potential. All that seed has received the same amount of sunshine. It's all received the same amount of rain. But that straw made all the difference. The straw prevents the soil from washing away. So I didn't know why it made any difference. I looked it up. This is why it helps. Straw prevents the soil from washing away, so the grass has a place to grow. The straw prevents the seed from washing away, so obviously that helps a little bit. And another really big thing the straw does, the straw helps to stabilize the temperature and moisture of the soil and creates this perfect little greenhouse for the seed to germinate and grow. So changing the environment made all the difference. All the seed had the same potential. But changing the environment, even a little, made all the difference. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Our environment is one of many things that has an enormous influence on who we are and the decisions that we make. You may have seen I posted about this on Facebook a couple weeks ago. Not too many people took the bait to comment on it because it's a big idea. Who we are and what we do is basically the product of about five things. Our DNA. You're influenced by your DNA. We, in psychology, would call this your nature. Your human nature is a big part of who you are. Also, your free will. You get to decide who you are and what you want to be. God's will also has an enormous influence on who we are. And once you become a Christian, you also have the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the thing we'll talk about today is our environment. Our environment is one of these factors. So how much does our environment matter relative to these other influences? It matters quite a lot, actually. In every stage of life, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, your environment changes who you are. So let's start with this. What are we even talking about when we say that our environment influences us? Mostly we're talking about people. I mean, sure, there's other things in our environment, but mostly we're talking about the people in our lives that have an influence on us. And this is obvious, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your husband, your wife, even your children, and really just about anyone in your life who has any influence over your thoughts and your actions. For example, some of you may know Jody Brumble. She's the prosecuting attorney of Shannon County and also a member of the Church of Christ over at Summersville. And we were talking about the rate of recidivism in Shannon County. Recidivism, that's one of those words that lawyers make up so they can talk about things that nobody else knows what they're talking about. So let me tell you what recidivism is. Recidivism is basically the percentage of criminals that go back to the same old crimes after they get out of prison or finish some rehabilitation program. So that's what recidivism is. The rate at which criminals go back to the same old crimes after they've been to prison or been through a rehabilitation program. So the national average for all criminals and all crimes is about 50%. So on average, all criminals, all crimes considered, The rate of recidivism is about 50%. 50% of the time, somebody gets out of prison and they go right back to what they were doing before. About 50% of the time, they get through a rehabilitation program and they go right back to what they were doing before, within a year. And for some areas and for some crimes, the rate of recidivism is basically 100%. Basically 100%. So like drug abusers, rate of recidivism is basically 100%. So why? Why is this? It's because even after they get out of prison, after they get through the rehabilitation program, they still like sinning. They still like sinning, and because their circle of influence hasn't changed. They get out of jail, and they go right back to the same community, the same friends, the same family that got them into trouble in the first place. Their environment hasn't changed. Their environment hasn't changed. And going to prison, going through a rehabilitation program doesn't change that. The environment hasn't changed. Jody was also telling me that about a year ago, they started a rehabilitation program in Shannon County. You know how many people have graduated from that drug abuse rehabilitation program in the last year? Zero. Zero people have completed that program in the last year. Nobody finishes it. Why? Because their environment doesn't change and they just still like sinning, right? So our environment is huge and we can't underestimate how important it is. Let me give you an example in your life. The words and the phrases that you use in your daily conversation, where did those come from? 100% of the words and phrases you use came from somebody else. Very rarely do we make up our own words in our lives. 100% of the things that you say, your words and phrases, you learned from somebody in your environment, for better or for worse. For example, Joanna has started saying, y'all. She never said that before. But this is what happens when you shelter in place in Shannon County for 3 months straight. She started saying, y'all. I'll know it's time to move if she starts saying, you-ins. Does everybody know that? So in country speak, there's y'all, and then there's you-ins, right? Where did people come up with that? They didn't find it in a dictionary, I know that, right? Somebody did make up those words. I told you, you don't make up your own words. Somebody did, and it caught on, and that's what you say. There's y'all and you-ins, and you pick these things up from your environment. I grew up in the Kansas City area, and you know what you call a caffeinated beverage in Kansas City? You know what that's called? No, it's called pop. In Kansas City, it's called pop. So then I moved down here, and y'all call it soda, right? So you just follow along. Now I call it soda. And you go to other places in the country, and they call it other things. Like in the South, I think it's in the South, like everything's called a Coke, right? If you want a caffeinated beverage, you say you want a Coke, but they don't actually mean like literally a Coca-Cola. They mean a soda, and then you have to be more specific. So these examples are pretty benign. No big deal, right? You can say y'all, you-ins, pop, soda, and it's no big deal. These examples are neutral, but it's not always neutral. Think about this. Anybody who uses profanity, where'd they get that? They learned it from somebody in their environments. 100% of the time. If somebody uses profanity, they learned it from somebody in their environment. Anyone who uses God's name in vain. Why? Why'd they start doing that? They learned it from somebody in their environment. So many of our behaviors and interests are shaped by the influences in our environment. And in many cases, it's influences that we willingly bring into our environment. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's not just people that we bring into our environment and influence us. I sound like an old person right now, but we are influenced by what we watch on TV. Nate right now is very interested in making weapons and forging metals. right? So you know why that is. It's because we watch this show called Forged in Fire. Has anyone ever seen that before? Forged in Fire. It's a pretty interesting show, and we watch it. And so, Nate, that's like what he wants to do right now. I've had to put him on a weapons-making budget. Otherwise, that is all I would do right now, is help make weapons. So, again, I feel like that's a pretty neutral example, but it's not always neutral. Sometimes it's positive, but most of the time, it's either neutral or negative. The other influences that we might invite into our lives include social media, Facebook, Instagram, things like that. Online gaming. I am not an online gamer, but some people are. And absolutely that has an influence on people. The culture, the networks that people get involved in. Movies, probably a million other things that we're not going to take time to mention right now. But things in our environment, people in particular in our environment, have an influence on us. And we just have to accept that that's the way it is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." We've all probably heard that, read that, memorized that, quoted that 1,000 times in our lives. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. There are so many people in the Bible that prove this to be true. As we look at these people, let's remember to look at ourselves. A few examples. Judges 2, verses 1 through 3. God said, "I led you up from Egypt. I brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers and said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants." So he's saying, control the influences in your environment. That's basically what God is saying. Keep the negative influences out. Make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You shall tear down their altars. But, again, I'm reading from Judges right now. Then God says, "But you didn't listen to me. But you've not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you." What do you think the children of Israel were thinking when they made a conscious decision not to drive the inhabitants out? Probably the same kinds of things that we might say when we choose to surround ourselves with negative influences. We say things like, "It'll be fine. I can handle this. They're not going to influence me. They won't change me." Or we might say things like, "These people need me. They need me in their lives. I need to be an influence on them." But so often, that's not exactly how it works. Certainly not how it worked for the children of Israel, and we need to be conscious of this. You know, there is a give and take there. There is a balance we have to be aware of. Of course, we have to be around people to have an influence on them. But there is a point where that's not safe anymore, and we might have to change our circle of influence. What was it that caused Solomon's demise? Something very specific the Bible says caused Solomon's demise. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old." Not when he was a young man. Anyone ever noticed that before? This was not when he was a young man. When he was an old man. When Solomon was old. "These wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." Solomon, having the wrong influences in his life, changed him and brought him down. He knew better. Solomon is one of the wisest men to ever be on this earth. He knew better, and yet he was influenced by all these people in his environment. I'll mention the story of Ahab. It sounds like you must have just talked about this probably last week or the week before. So you know how evil Ahab was, right? I still want to read this in case you didn't read it last week. This is how evil Ahab was. 1 Kings 16, verses 30 through 33. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. So up until this point, he was the worst ever. Ahab was the worst king ever. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So there it is again. Ahab, up until this point, was the worst king of Israel. Worse than all who came before him. What was the cause of his problems? What was the cause of his problems? A cause of his problems. 1 Kings 21:25. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. So wives, if you ever forget, you are powerful. You have a huge influence over your husband. For better or for worse, you have a huge influence over your husband. And Jezebel used this for the worse. So obviously these are extreme examples. You're probably not married to a Jezebel. I know that you're not married to 700 pagan wives like Solomon. However, just like the children of Israel, we live among godless people. You're surrounded by a world that's under the influence of Satan. And you know, sometimes things in the world look good, and we have great friends in the world, and it's great, and we might forget that. We might forget that. That this world is under the influence of Satan. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals, and his feet not be seared? There Solomon was talking about going into an adulteress. But the idea is true of all influences. We just have to be aware of the negative influences that we bring into our lives. We have to be completely, sincerely honest with ourselves about how these influences are changing us. And you know, that's a really hard thing to do. Especially when you're around people that you love, people that you like. It's really hard to see how a negative influence in your life is affecting you. And you know, I think this is especially something that we have to think about as parents. I think you're all quite aware that there's a philosophy in the world today that we need to empower children to make their own choices. To empower children to choose their own interests. Empower them to choose their own friends. Choose how they spend their time, to create their own environment. That sounds really nice. I would not do that. I would not do that. That just sounds like such a great thing to do, but that is a terrible idea. The Bible teaches that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And what God is saying is that when a child is left to their own devices, they will not choose the right path. And this is the obligation of parents, to help shape a child and help create a good environment for a child to be raised. The risk is just too high. The risk is too high to follow this worldly philosophy. And so parents, this is part of what we do, is we create the right environment. Now, of course, I'm not saying that you brainwash your children. Of course, I'm not saying that we take away their free will. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you teach a child to make the right decisions, and part of the way we do this is by shaping their environment and making sure that they're surrounded by the right people who will have a positive influence on them. It is hard to overstate the influence of our environment. Nobody's born an alcoholic. You might be born with a genetic propensity to be that way, but you learn it. Right? Nobody's born an alcoholic. They learn it from people in their environment. No one is born addicted to drugs. Nobody is. You might be born with a genetic propensity to be addicted to things like that, But you're not born a drug addict. You learn that. A person learns that because of the influence in their environments. No one, as we've already mentioned, is born using profanity. It's a learned behavior. Many, not all, but many of the sins that we struggle with are learned behaviors from people in our environment. And so, whether you're 90 years old or you're a parent raising a little child, environment matters because we learn behaviors from our environment. Most importantly, no one is born a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian. You might be born into a Christian home with Christian parents, going to a Christian church and have Christian friends and singing Christian songs, but you're not born a Christian. A person becomes a Christian when they choose to, based on what they've learned in their environment. And once again, this is the obligation of all people, and a special obligation I think about right now for parents. That's what we're trying to do as parents, is create a Christian environment where a child is learning to want to be a Christian. So if your environment is holding you back, what do you do about it? Change is the hardest thing. I mean, if you were uncomfortable with where you were at in life right now, you would have already changed it, right? And that's what makes change so hard. That's what makes it hard to become better, is because getting better requires change. A big part of this might mean changing our environments. We have to cut out the perverse influences in our lives and in our families' lives. So, I sound like an old person again. You might have to change what you watch on TV. You might have to change your social media activity. You know, I have unfollowed so many people on Facebook. I only see posts from like 4 people now. But it was something I needed to do. I didn't need negative influences anymore. I had to cut it out, right? And it wasn't so much about the people I unfollowed as it was about me. Like, I didn't need those negative influences anymore. So I cut it out. Unfollow is a great button in Facebook because you're still friends, but you don't have to be subjected to the negative influence. If you need to change your environment, if you listen to the radio, you might have to change what you listen to on the radio. The really hard stuff, though, you might have to distance yourself from certain people. And you know, that really is the hardest thing. Nobody wants to do that. But you might have to. If you want to make meaningful change in your environment, that's one of the hard things to do. You might have to consciously distance yourself from certain people in your environment. You might have to distance yourself from certain friends. You might have to distance yourself from certain family members, even. And when you do that, fill up your environment with positive Christian influences. This is why we choose the right friends. This is why we teach our kids to choose the right friends. This is why we teach our children to choose the right spouse. And this is why we're here today, because we want to fill our lives up with positive influence. You know, when it comes to being at church, it is important to remember that it's not just about us individually. We're also here to create an environment that is beneficial for somebody else. So it's not just about what we get, it's also about what we give. You are part of somebody's environment. You are influencing somebody. You are changing the way somebody thinks. You're changing the way somebody acts. You're changing the way somebody feels. And you can do that in a positive way when we're here at church and, of course, at all times. So keep all these things in mind. Like I always say at the end of a lesson, I hope I gave you some things that stir up thoughts that drive us forward in our mission of serving Christ. And our environment is a big part of that. It can be the hardest thing to change, but it is such an important thing shaping who we are and what we do. Appreciate your time and attention today. We'll offer an invitation to anyone who's not received the gospel. We can take care of that as we stand and sing this invitation number.
Number 405. If you're looking for a better friend to spend some time with, you should choose Jesus.